and welcome to our Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and today we are going to talk about the arts in our public schools today. And with us, the executive director of Musicopia and Dancing Classrooms Philly, Catherine Charlton. We have Taya Harlos. She is the artistic director and conductor of Musicopia String Orchestra. Marcus Myers, artistic director of Musicopia Drumlines. And Swati Chaturvedi, she is the program director for Dancing Classrooms Philly. Everybody, welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning. Thank you.
We've had Dancing Classrooms and Musicopia on in the past, and we talked about the programming that you offer in the classroom. Of course, times have definitely changed. So now I want to first, though, direct this question to Catherine. You want to get us started and tell us, what are these programs?
Musicopia was founded in 1974 by an all-female string quartet. That was when arts education in the schools was beginning to get significant budget cuts. And this string quartet saw a real need for bringing music education directly into schools where there was no arts education. And ever since then, the mission has been to bring the power of music to places where there is no music education. And in 2012, we formed forces with Dancing Classrooms Philly that has a mission to improve the social-emotional lives and create joy and creativity in students through the vehicle of ballroom dance. And both of these programs target underserved schools that wouldn't have access to the arts otherwise.
And you start them off fairly young. When do students start taking lessons with you?
Well, on the Musicopia side, we have significantly increased our programming in recent years at early learning centers. We have a lot of programs where we're going into preschools and getting the kids moving and dancing and singing. And then that leads into our elementary programs where they're learning bucket drumming and world cultures and having the opportunity to spend 10 weeks at a time with a teaching artist creating a performance for their peers. And then that leads into our middle and high school programs of after school orchestra drawing from 34 different schools in the city and our drum lines at 8 locations around the city at the middle and high school levels. Dancing Classrooms Philly targets 5th and 8th grade students. Those ages are particularly transformational in the lives of children's development in the terms of being able to understand the higher level concepts of respect and interaction with their peers, but yet they are still children and able to open their hearts in ways that perhaps the older kids might not be ready to at the moment.
Let's get into, though, the importance of these programs. And Swati, would you like to talk about dancing classrooms, a little bit of the history, but what it does for students?
So the program was launched in 2007, and as Catherine mentioned, it was to foster social-emotional learning in children in the classrooms. And, it allows children to, it offers them a creative outlet. It allows them to express themselves. It also puts them in an environment where they learn how to express themselves along with their peers. So, as children are growing, they are becoming self-conscious. They are, and then in this program, it offers them a platform where they do interact with their peers in this fun learning exercise where they're learning, a ton of dance styles such as the merengue, the waltz, foxtrot, tango, to name some of them. So they're learning dance skills along with social skills through this journey.
The words that you said just there are so foreign to so many, I would say, fifth graders at this point. You said the merengue and the waltz. You're teaching traditional social dancing to kids who maybe their parents wouldn't have even learned these dances, or their grandparents at this point.
Right. And that's the beauty of the program, that it introduces something new to so many families, to so many children. And, the way that it's done, it's a very systematic approach. It's step-by-step introduction to the dance forms. And along with the aspect of movement, there is learning about the culture that the dance comes from, the history of it, learning about the country. So there's a lot of all around focus on not just the movement and dance and the social aspect, but also the educational aspect, and which is why this program is immensely valuable in our classrooms.
They learn a lot through the etiquette of the dancing too, though, don't they?
They do. And Catherine, feel free to jump in.
Yeah, I was going to jump in and say that that's one of the beauties of the program, that when we go into a school, every single child in the fifth grade, for example, has to participate. So it's not by choice, and it's not just one classroom. It's the entire grade is participating, and they are all experiencing this journey together. And that's part of the magic of it, that they are learning world cultures and dances that they may never have heard of, and might be very nervous at the beginning, but yet they are put in a situation where they're asked to look each other in the eye, and they're asked to hold out their hands and touch their classmates. At the same time, they are all learning. And that is a really powerful transformational experience for them.
Taya and Marcus, when Swati mentioned that this is a new art form to so many students, what about Musicopia and the drumlines too? Are these genres that the kids are familiar with when you first start playing to them? And how do you introduce a young child to music that is totally different than what they're accustomed to hearing?
Yeah, for drums, I'm fortunate because I feel like a lot of kids love drums.
maybe not
the caretakers hearing it, but a lot of kids just naturally love music or drums. So for me, it's with the utmost importance of just curating or fostering that natural maybe interest that they might have or curiosity about music, while making it fun and informational for them at the same time. Because, you know, especially in Western culture, drums are so prevalent in our music. I mean, even from nursery rhymes to, you know, pop music. So it's something that they hear. They're inundated with it all the time. So for me, I have some base. We have a base that we can go to and just build upon that, or show them different connections of this song mixes with this song, and you can create this song with it too. So, so that's where I'm fortunate at.
I was going to say, everybody has a pot and a pan to bang on, or a desktop, or your knees to make some rhythm. But in
exactly.
Musicopia, you're introducing music that children don't always hear. I don't think kids go to see Peter and the Wolf anymore. And they're also picking up instruments that you don't find in many households.
It's very true. But I would still echo some of what Marcus was saying. I think that there, music is around us constantly. And even if it's just music that's being used as the backdrop for a commercial, music that we hear, you know, even as your parents are flipping through the radio, it still surrounds us, right? So that's a good basis for introducing the students. But so much of what we do is beyond just the normal classical realm. We do jazz, we're doing a piece from Hamilton right now. We expand, we do movie music, we do new compositions. So it's more than just liking the music that we're putting forth for them. They don't just have to be total advocates for classical music. It's more about the joy that they're getting playing the instruments, the joy that they receive when they're playing with other students. So it transcends a little bit actually beyond what the actual music is. The music, the repertoire that we're choosing, is just the vehicle for the greater self-expression that they have.
So self-expression is the idea behind all of this. What about introducing an instrument that a child has never picked up before? Is it frustrating, or do they light up and go, oh my gosh, I found my calling?
Right. Well, for string instruments, most of the kids that we're getting into the after school orchestras are students that have started them as part of our school programs, or have a school program that exists on its own. So we do a lot of outreach to schools in the Philly public school system to find students that would benefit from being in an orchestra, that have those early steps under their belt already. And then having the vehicle of an orchestra to be part of is the takeoff for them. For so many students, they love playing the instrument, but there's a little bit lacking when they're just playing by themselves. So to be surrounded by other musicians that are also in that process, that's the hold that really gets them.
Oh yeah, I was going to completely agree with that. And I wanted to say also that Swati, in addition to being our program director for Dancing Classrooms Philly, is a Musicopia dance teaching artist and has been teaching Bollywood dance in our schools for the last 6 years through Musicopia and longer through her own Bollywood dance community project. So I'd love to hear Swati's interpretation of that question as well.
I actually welcome the opportunity when a student expresses that they are not really feeling it, because I think it's a point of conversation. And I've had numerous conversations over the time. And in fact, conversations tend to be a bigger part of my approach to residencies, because I believe that once we can engage our students and get them excited about something, then the learning begins versus just, you know, delivering, imparting anything. So in my experience, the students that have hesitated initially, the conversation is really, hey, how about we just give it a try? How about we just try something new? And in my experience has been that in the majority of those cases, once they try it, they start having fun. Once they start having fun, they start learning both the dance and the music itself and all the curricular connections that we have, you know, the educational aspect. So I think learning begins, and they are on a journey before they realize it. But I think it's interesting. Sometimes it takes more of a conversation, and sometimes, especially the younger audiences are like, they're the ones that have their arms open, you know, to the world, and like they're ready to go. The older ones, sometimes they tend to be a little more hesitant.
How do they progress through the system? They're introduced in a classroom, but then what are the opportunities following that to pursue their interests later on as they continue to grow?
So for the string orchestras, we actually have three levels of string orchestras. We have the younger group, MISP. We have the middle group, MSO. And then off of MSO, we also have a chamber orchestra, which is for more advanced students who want a little bit of work more in the smaller realm. And we also have an octet that goes into schools to promote the programs and reach out to students that might not have ever seen them before. And our goal is to really push out students beyond that into other programs, to push them into PYO, into Symphonia, into orchestras that offer the next level up for them.
And in dancing, I know that there's a competition at the end of the school year each year for the dancers. Is there any follow-up beyond that? If they age out of the program, is there anything in the schools or after-school programming that they can take advantage of?
There is. It's called the Academy program, and that is an after-school program. It's run on the weekend, and more information is available on our website, so please register. And Catherine, I would love for you to speak to more of the Academy, since I am relatively new to it myself.
Yes. Yeah, so dancers who have completed an in-school residency are invited to the Saturday Dance Academy, where they can work through a 2 to 3 year curriculum of advancing their dance knowledge. And then for those who are particularly passionate about the dance, we have our all-star troupe that performs all throughout the city, in neighborhoods and at festivals and events. And we've even had some of our students, both in the Dancing Classrooms Philly Academy, as well as in our drum lines, who have then, as high school students, been able to be a student observer on the shared board of directors for Musicopia and Dancing Classrooms Philly, and be able to share their voice about their experiences in these programs with the governing management team. And Marcus, I would love for you to speak to our vision of tracking kids in our in-school bucket drumming, and then what opportunities there are to progress through the drum lines.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, like Catherine said, there is the intro to bucket drumming, which is great because a lot of kids love that. And a lot of people have buckets at home where they can easily access buckets at home. And then we go from there, and then it really blossoms from there. We have a Musicopia Royals group drumline, which is kind of, I wouldn't say elite, but it's our best skilled players. They learn a lot of hard music. It can be very arduous for them, but it's good because they can do it at that level, or they can come to that level. And then we have some programs that compete competitively at different circuits. So there's something for every level that we have in the program. And then one of the beautiful things that I love that I learned when I came onto the job in May is that we take some of the students that graduate from high school and we bring them back and give them an opportunity to work with the drum line. So there might be some junior teachers that, you know, they can give back from their experience. And I find it that the students really relate to them because they just came from that experience. They can talk to the students on a different level. So that's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Obviously, they're learning social skills through the dancing programs. They're learning appreciation of other cultures, et cetera. Is this helping them move on in their education? Marcus, you mentioned that they come back as junior teachers. Do they want to go on and become professional musicians or dancers? Do you have kids who are going into college to become instructors?
Well, yeah, I think I can't speak to that because I haven't been here that long. Maybe Catherine can speak to that. But from what I can gather at this moment, yeah, the future is bright for them. And it really is just a springboard for them. And that's what we try to be at the Drumline, at least, just a springboard.
Yeah. And I would say that I don't think it's particularly our goal to foster professional musicians on the whole. We do have some groups where we do a large number of our Musicopia String Orchestra students are artists in the Pennsylvania Music Alliance for Youth, PMA, consortium of nonprofits, which has initiative. There are about 80 students across the city who are receiving special assistance for lessons and workshops and guidance to help change the face and diversity in classical orchestras of the future. And many of those students are on track for professional musicianship. But the Musicopia and DCP programs as a whole, I don't think that's the particular mission, but we encourage it whenever there is a passion and a spark and an interest. And we certainly are encouraging the discipline and dedication that is needed to succeed in college and future careers. One of our biggest visions at the moment is to track kids through the system. One of our most popularly booked programs in school has been bucket drumming for many, many years, and figuring out ways to bring those bucket drummers. And Taya mentioned a lot of our in-school programs for strings, how to recruit those particular kids into our after-school programs, and then track them through college and beyond. One exciting thing that we're investigating in the next year is also partnering with organizations in the city, such as Project 440, which delivers college readiness and career exploration for music. We're going to be partnering with Project 440 to have some of our high school students participate in their programs as well. And anywhere where we have an opportunity to partner with other organizations who are doing amazing things can only mean more amazing things for the kids.
If you're just joining us, we're already past the halfway mark. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us today, we have from Musicopia and Dancing Classrooms Philly, we have Catherine Charlton. She's the executive director of the programs. Taya Harlos, she is an artistic director and conductor for Musicopia String Orchestra. Marcus Myers, artistic director for Musicopia Drum Lines. And Swati Chaturvedi, she is program director for Dancing Classrooms Philly, and she works with Musicopia as well with her own dance programs. If you'd like more information, go to musicopia.net. That's musicopia.net, or go to dancingclassroomsphilly.org. Very easy. You can also find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So the goal is not necessarily to create a new generation of professional musicians and dancers, but to introduce the social niceties and the camaraderie and enjoying a project together, to introduce new cultures and new sounds and ideas, all of this so vital to young kids. And now more than ever, kids need this. And yet now more than ever, you can't sit across from each other blowing into an oboe or playing a violin or clasping hands to do a merengue or a foxtrot. How are you coping with COVID?
Well, I'll start off on that. I actually just wanted to tag on to one of the last questions that we had about students continuing on, we do have currently one of our junior coaches for the string orchestras that's working with us. And when life shut down back in March, several of our alumni actually came back to help us coach when we moved to the online system. So for the string orchestras, we are currently doing online rehearsals. We're doing sectionals in small groups. We've done a lot of work to reach out to the students in a more in-depth way and to provide video resources for them during the week to sustain the work that we're doing. I think that it's definitely a challenge. I will say we have an octet, and the octet is actually going to be starting in-person rehearsals, of course, socially distanced and with proper guidelines around cleaning protocols. But we're very excited to be bringing that chamber group together to be doing in-person work, and the families are very excited about that.
Yeah, I agree with Taya. It has its challenges, but it's very rewarding. This summer, we had an in-house program where we met with the students. We definitely social distanced, and the kids were so grateful for it, though. They were so grateful to be among each other. And I loved it, too, because I thought it was a great opportunity just to have them have that community, which when you go online, it can kind of be missing. So it was great to see them have that community. And as we wrapped up, we moved everything to virtual learning. So our teachers, our coaches, they're doing a great job trying to connect with the kids. We know all the kids have some type of screen burnout by now. So we try to be understanding of that and just foster great relationships with them and making sure they're okay.
Spotty, you have probably the most difficult of all. How are you handling this?
I know.
Yeah.
That we think of ballroom dancing as partner dancing. So I think the way to approach this is that, first of all, in our schools, we need more dance and movement than ever before. Because with virtual learning, our screen time has increased. We are more sedentary. So anything that can get the kids up and moving is the need of the hour. So our program, how we have adapted is that, you know, we are still walking through the basics of all of our dances, but now we gather in a virtual room. So we are still connecting with our peers virtually, and we are all learning together. So a teaching artist will walk us through step-by-step instruction. So you're dancing in your, you know, family room maybe, but you are still dancing together. And yes, you know, we are excited to when, you know, in a future point sometime we all get back to again working with partners live in person. But until then, I think our goal is to at least get all of us moving and learning.
And I would love to jump in on that and say that I am so proud of us as organizations on how quickly we were able to move in the spring. We originally had canceled over 800 programs because all of our programming is done in the schools. But Musicopia was able to complete over 650 virtual programs just in spring 2020 alone. Dancing Classrooms Philly very quickly transitioned into daily stretch classes on Facebook Live and dance parties with the students and their caretakers and their extended families. And the learning has expanded even more so now in the fall, where we're able to evaluate how it worked in the spring. And then over the summer, we were able to provide a lot of additional resources to our teaching artists through a series of workshops. Taya led one of those to help introduce a lot of the teachers to online learning tools. Our board of directors, several members jumped in, educational curriculum expert jumped in and gave a workshop on adapting lesson plans for online. Another one jumped in and gave a lot of tools for just how to do lighting and sound for your videos. So it really has been this amazing family effort, the families being our organizations. And while the learning is very different, it's also, in a lot of ways, a lot deeper and more enriching. We're able to do things like more in-depth music theory classes and history lessons, opportunities for kids to work with a teaching artist to write lyrics about their experiences of the last 6 months and turn those into rap lyrics, to turn those into rhythms that they can then move. And as Swati said, get us up and moving and away from our screens.
Hey, you just mentioned a lot of great partnerships, but it takes a huge village, whether it's getting instruments to you, funding the programming in the classrooms. How does the public get involved, and how do schools get involved with what you're offering?
So there's a few ways. Thank you for asking. So on December 6th, we're having a virtual high note, high step fundraiser for both organizations. And we're excited to announce that the classical hip hop duo Black Violin is going to be speaking and answering our students' questions at that event. We have instrument donation locations across the city, a few of which are available and accepting musical instrument donations that we then distribute to students and schools who need them. You can, of course, visit our websites, musicopia.net and dancingclassroomsphilly.org. We gratefully accept donations of any amount to be able to deliver our programs.
Parting words about your programs. Taya, start us off.
Yeah, I would add on to what Catherine just said. That's a great list of ways to get involved. One of the easiest ways is to follow us on social media also. We have a lot of posts and sharing it with friends and family and neighbors just to get the word out, to like the performances that our students are putting out for them. Any way that we can show the students that we appreciate the work that we're doing, that we recognize them, I think that is that's even more important to them in some ways.
Marcus?
Yeah, so I would say to any parents listening, we all have experience that this has been a challenging year for us. So if you want to have your child be a part of this, please reach out to us. Reach out to us. That community is so important, especially now more than ever.
And Swati?
So join us as we create more joy in our classrooms, in our virtual classrooms. Move with us, dance with us, and you can have your school contact us. Your administrators reach out to us, and you know, we can talk to them about how we can bring this to your classrooms.
And Catherine, take us home.
One last thing, and that is all of us need, as Marcus said, the connection and the community. We need music. We need dance. Turn on the radio, turn on Spotify, listen to music, get up and move, step away from the screen, and get all of your loved ones to do the same.
And of course, for more information about anything and everything that we talked about today, well, one, as Taya said, look for them on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. You'll get the latest information there about where you can find them and what they're up to, but also always go online, musicopia.net. And dancingclassroomsphilly.org. Very easy. Musicopia.net and dancingclassroomsphilly.org. I want to say thank you to all of my guests today. We had a big crowd here today. We almost had an ensemble of our own. And my guest today, Catherine Charlton, Executive Director of Musicopia and Dancing Classrooms Philadelphia. Taya Harlos, Artistic Director and Conductor, Musicopia String Orchestra. Marcus Myers, Artistic Director, Musicopia Drumlines. And Swati Chaturvedi, Program Director, Dancing Classrooms Philly, and Teaching Artist for Bollywood for Musicopia. Again, musicopia.net, dancingclassroomsphilly.org. Thank you all for being on.
Thank you.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Our Delaware Valley.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.